Turn your Bibles to Galatians chapter 5, if you would with me this morning. And I'd like to say that we were in Luke 16, actually verses 14 through 18, which was supposed to be our text for today, but I did not finish my message. So we're in Galatians chapter 5. I was out of the office a day this week sick and battling that and different circumstances. And then Friday morning, my intention was, as I'd finished up my main part of my study, to go ahead and still finish the text. And my Bible Works program was not working, which I do my word studies off of and parse verbs and look at Greek text and different things like that. And I realized at that time that I was supposed to go in a different direction. And quickly I was led to this text, which may be one of the most important texts that we could look at today in our sanctification process on how to overcome sin in our lives, the way of victory over sin in our lives, and what I would call the sanctification section of Galatians 5, 16 through 26. Now, we're only going to be looking at three verses, Galatians 5, 24, 25, and 26. But let's stand as we read the Word of God, and we'll pick up with verse 16 and read through the end of the chapter. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, for these are in opposition to one another, so you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Our text today. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another. Let's pray together, please. Father, I would cry out to you this morning and ask that you would enable me through the Holy Spirit who indwells me to be able to clearly communicate this text. Lord, I pray that believers will walk away with understanding how we can grow more in Christ, how we can be holier in our walk. And I would pray for anyone here today without Christ, that, Lord, you might show them their need, their sin, and the only Savior, the Lord Jesus. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Thanks so much. Philip Ryken, in his commentary on the book of Galatians, makes a very important statement about the sanctification of a true believer. He said, and I quote, "There are two sides to sanctification in the Christian life. One is mortification, the putting to death of the sinful nature," which I would pause and clarify here. We would communicate the flesh in this text, translated that way in all the major translations with the exception of the NIV. Flesh is the better translation because we have to crucify the flesh. We're made new in Christ. We're new creations. We're not adding old to new. We're adding new, and we are transformed, made new in Christ. So one side of sanctification is mortification of the flesh, the putting to death of the flesh, killing the flesh. The other side of sanctification is vivification, the coming to life of the regenerate nature. So at the same time that we're putting our flesh to death, we're being revived by the Holy Spirit. Reichen said, these two aspects of sanctification, mortification and vivification, go together. As Calvin put it, the death of the flesh is the life of the Spirit. Now, let me attempt to expand on what Reichen said about sanctification. And first of all, what is sanctification? Well, it's the process of becoming more like Christ. The process of growing in holiness and being set apart for and to Christ. And in the sanctification section of Galatians 5, 16 through 26, Paul declares the sufficiency of the Holy Spirit to deal with fleshly desires by pointing the way to obedience and victory. And that way is the road to holiness and sanctification that Paul described here in terms of the two-pronged process of number one, mortification, which is daily dying to the flesh, and number two, vivification, which is continuous growth in grace through the work and power of the Holy Spirit to walk by the Spirit, Spirit dependence. Mortification and vivification are essential in the process of sanctification and not fulfilling the wrong desires that we face every day of our lives as Christians, the wrong desires of the flesh. Let me say here, don't be afraid of these two words that we seldom use in our vocabulary anymore. They are rich, they are filled, they are pregnant with meaning. Mortification simply means putting sin to death. It means dying to the desires of the flesh. It means killing sin. And in our text today, we will see the means of death, the means of execution or death is crucifixion. Crucifixion. Second, the word vivification is a good word and literally means to bring life to. And in the context of Galatians 5, means life by grace through the work and power of the Holy Spirit. And here's the essential balance of these truths. Fighting sin, trying to kill sin with human strength, will produce only self-righteousness and pride. It will produce a legalist, a Pharisee. Of course, there were the Judaizers at the region of Galatia that Paul is fighting against and communicating about in the book of Galatians. But we have this issue of dying to self, crucifixion, and living and walking in the Spirit, mortification and vivification. Thus, we must die to self and our wrong desires by walking and then yielding to the Holy Spirit. Legalism, trying to keep the law and grind out victory over the flesh by gritting your teeth and self-effort, will lead to failure. You can't do it on your own. I don't care how disciplined you are. Commentator Douglas Moo made this insightful statement, and I quote, "Even though the Christian is made responsible for this mortification of sins, he or she accomplishes this only through the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Holiness of life, then, is achieved neither by our own unaided effort, the error of moralism or legalism, nor by the Spirit apart from our participation. As some who insist that the key to holy living is surrender or to let go and let God. Holiness attained is attained by constantly living out the life placed within us by the Spirit who has taken up residence within us. We face here another finely nuanced balance that must not be tipped too far in either direction. Human activity in the process of sanctification is clearly necessary, but that activity is never apart from, nor finally distinct from, the activity of God's Spirit. End quote. Now, what is Moose saying? He is communicating the necessity of mortification and vivification. He is communicating the truth of Romans 8:13, which says, "For if you live after the flesh, you will die. But if you through the Spirit put to death the desires of the flesh, you shall live." How? Through the Spirit, putting to death the desires of the flesh. Now, putting to death the desires of the flesh through the work of the Holy Spirit gives evidence that we are true believers and leads to sanctified, holy, pure living. Thus, there are two sides to sanctification in the Christian life, mortification and vivification, which is the title of our study today. And note, if you would, contextually, earlier in Galatians 5, we read it this morning, beginning in verse 16, we see the truth of walking by the Spirit so that we don't fulfill the desires of the flesh, being filled, led, directed, controlled by the Holy Spirit, essential in having victory in our Christian life. And then the deeds or works of the flesh follow in verses 19 through 21, which communicate to us if the flesh is in control, this is how we'll be living. These will be the fruits, the actions of an individual yielding to the flesh over the Spirit. And then the fruit of the Spirit follows in verses 22 and 23. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. That's what we want in our lives, right? Always. The fruit of the Spirit. And beloved, the Holy Spirit does not produce fruit in the Christian life. Get this. Without our cooperation, we must yield to Him. But the Holy Spirit through us must battle sin to the death. And the means of execution is crucifixion. Therefore, we cannot administer first aid to the flesh. We cannot give it CPR. We cannot give it aid and health by yielding to it. We cannot give it life support. It must be crucified. And get this, was crucified. But now we must reckon it or consider ourselves dead and yield to the Spirit and walk by the Spirit. Romans 6:11 says, "Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord." So we must live out what we are in Christ now, and walk by the Spirit. We are not what we used to be. We are not a remodeled sinner, but a remade saint. So mortification and vivification are essential. And under that title in our study of Galatians 5, 24 through 26 today, we'll look at just 2 points. Number one, the conquest of the flesh through crucifixion and walking by the Spirit, verses 24 and 25. And number two, the concern of Paul over the Galatians of actions and attitudes of the flesh that were being manifest, obviously, in the church in verse 26. And without any further introduction, let's dive into our text today and begin with verse 24, where we'll start to see our first point, the conquest. Look at Galatians 5:24 with me, please. And I just trust that the Spirit of God will speak through me that in clarity, and that this will be clear to you, because if you can take this and apply it today in your life, there'll be great, great victory. especially with areas that you're struggling with in your life as far as sin is concerned, what I would call besetting sins. Verse 24. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Now to begin with here in verse 24, to attempt to unpack this verse and to communicate its context, I'm going to quote from Timothy George's commentary on Galatians 5:24, where he said, and I quote, this is a good starting point. This verse, Galatians 5:24, and the one that follows, obviously verse 25, serve as a dual conclusion to Paul's two catalogs of vials and virtues. Now, what are the two catalogs? Well, he's talking about the catalogs of sins with the deeds of the flesh in verses 19 to 21, the vices, and the fruit of the Spirit in verses 22 and 23, the virtues. So the vices, the works of the flesh, the virtues, the fruit of the Spirit. George then says, if the Christian life is a continuous tug of war between the flesh and the Spirit, are not believers consigned to a spiritually meager existence of perpetual defeat and minimal growth? In these verses, Paul asserted the sufficiency of the Spirit to deal with the flesh by pointing to the way of Christian victory. That way is the path of sanctification, Paul described here in terms of the dual process of mortification, daily dying to the flesh, and vivification, continuous growth in grace through the new life of the Spirit. End quote. Now this is very practical, and again, super important for us to grasp. For after Paul talks about the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5:22 and 23, which, by the way, are characteristics of Christ in our lives, as we walk by the Spirit, we'll act like Christ. That's it. I mean, Christ was love. Christ was joy. Christ was peace. He was long-suffering. He was gentle. He was all those things. Do we want to be like Christ? Well, that should be our supreme desire in our worship of Him. I want to be like Jesus. Well, the result it happens in our lives as the fruit of the Spirit is manifest in our lives. So here we have in verses 22 and 23 characteristics of Christ in our lives as we walk by the Spirit. Paul says, now those who belong to Christ, Christians, true believers, those whom as the pattern and direction of their lives manifest the fruit of the Spirit in contrast to the deeds of the flesh, these people, true Christians, who belong to Christ, have done something. What is that in verse 24? Look back to verse 24. They have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Now, this have crucified in Galatians 5:24 is different from Galatians 2:20 to the I am crucified with Christ. You remember Galatians 2:20? I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives within me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Now, in the verse I just quoted, Galatians 2:20, we are crucified. And the verb crucified is in the passive voice. I have been crucified with Christ. And refers to a past act, something done to the Christian and for the Christian by someone else. And who is that someone else? God. God does this. So the reference is to what has been done for the believer as a result of Christ's death. Believer, we have been crucified with Christ in that He died in our place on the cross, and on the basis of which we are declared righteous by God through faith alone in Christ alone. However, here in Galatians 5:24, those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh. And here we have the active voice used in the verb have crucified. And this points to what the believer has himself done in practice, and in the context of Galatians 5, must continue to regard as being done. It is to say, crucifixion of the flesh is described here not as something done to us, but rather something done by us. Unlike Galatians 2:20, which has been done to us by the Lord Himself. And yes, we know in Romans 6:6, at conversion, at salvation, the old man died. That our old self was crucified with Christ so that we're no longer slaves to sin. And this truth became positionally true for the believer at the time of conversion, of salvation, of saving, repentant belief. But what is true in principle, what in reality is there and in position, must become true more and more in experience and in practice, living out that reality. Thus, the believer must match up his practice with his position and live out what has happened at salvation daily. We were crucified. We are no longer slaves of sin. But now, to match up our practice with our position, there must be mortification and living out of who we are in Christ daily. Daily crucifixion. Daily dying. And in Galatians 5:24, this reckoning, this application, must be carried out and applied by living like a person who has been crucified. That's mortification. Therefore, believers themselves are the agents of this active crucifixion daily. Hence, Paul was here describing the process of mortification in Galatians 5:24. The daily putting to death, the daily crucifixion of the flesh through this following of spiritual disciplines. You say, what do you mean there? Well, there are certain things we need to do every day. One of them is there's daily repentance. If we're going to crucify the flesh, when we yield to the flesh, that means what? Immediately we confess our sin. Number two, daily we must be in the Word of God. Why? That's the mind of Christ. And who authored, by the way, the Word of God? The Holy Spirit. Three, we need to pray. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The Spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Even if we're able to health-wise, we can fast. And clearly in this context, spirit control, which leads to self-control, the fruit of the Spirit. We need to be walking in the Spirit. And beloved, I think every one of you that are believers this morning are well aware that this is a daily battle. A moment by moment, yielding, submission to the Holy Spirit, and mortification. For the mortifying work of self-crucifixion is a continuous, lifelong process. For this side of heaven, we dwell in mortal bodies and deal daily with wrong desires, right? Are there any of you that don't deal with wrong desires daily? If you don't, you're dead. And I'm talking about physical death. That's when it ends, at that time. We, every day of our lives, deal with wrong desires. And the moment you yield to one of those desires, that's sin. That's yielding the flesh. How do we overcome that? Walk in the Spirit. Daily crucifixion of sin in our lives. Putting ourselves and nailing ourselves to the cross. Living out who we are in Christ. We have died with Him. We've been buried. We've been raised to walk in newness of life. But the reality is we need to take that position in what happened for us in our lives every day. Every day. Live that out every day. Matching up our practice with our position. John Brown, in his commentary on Galatians, describes the mortification needed daily in this light by saying over a few sentences, I quote, "Crucifixion produced death, not suddenly, but gradually. True Christians do not succeed in completely destroying it, that is the flesh, while here below, but they have fixed it, the flesh, to the cross, and they're determined to keep it there till it expires, until it dies." End quote. And beloved, crucifixion meant death. But crucified victims in the first century could live several days in agony. It wasn't instant death. In fact, we know that Jesus' death was speeded up by what? The will of God. He wasn't involved. Normally, to speed up death for a cross victim, there was crucifracture. And they would break the leg so they no longer could push up on the cross and believe. But what did Jesus do? He dismissed his spirit to fulfill the prophecy that not a bone of his body would be what? Broken. So the reality is, people live for a while on the cross. Some in that time for days. Victims could live several days in agony. So crucifixion meant death, but not immediate death, like an electric chair or lethal injection or a gas chamber. Well, true believers have died with Christ positionally and raised to walk in newness of life. We have been crucified, and although the old man is dead, the flesh is alive and well. Don't we know that? And to use an analogy from crucifixion, an illustration from crucifixion, what happens daily is the flesh tries to climb back down from the cross. In the interim of crucifixion, salvation and final death, when we physically die and are with the Lord. And in this analogy, this illustration, we're tempted daily to remove the nails and help the flesh by yielding to its wrong desires to come back down from the cross and nurse the flesh back to health. And this is why we struggle with besetting sins. Sins that we commit often, that we struggle with, that can become bad habits of the flesh. And this has to stop. We cannot administer first aid to the flesh. It must be put to death and not gratified. We must pound the nails in a little deeper and leave it, the flesh, on the cross, crucified. Thus, in actual crucifixion, life lingers. So do not yield to the desires to come down from the cross. We must do the crucifying. We must match up our position on the cross with our practice. So we must die. There must be mortification. The Holy Spirit does not produce fruit in the Christian life without our cooperation. But He gives us the holy affections. We have those, don't we? We have new desires as believers to crucify the flesh with its passions, with its affections, with its wrong desires that we will have until we die physically. We have new desires in Christ. We've been made new. So mortification, putting to death, crucifying the flesh, is the first truth in our text today. To not yield to the wrong passions and desires of the flesh. But vivification is the next truth. Please look at verse 25 with me, please. If we live by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Here's the second side of sanctification. And this is brought forth here in verse 25. For at the same time we're putting the flesh to death, we can only do it supernaturally through the power of the Holy Spirit. For our source of spiritual life is the Holy Spirit. So the Spirit must be allowed to direct our steps so that we become more like Christ, more holy, which again is sanctification. And as the New English Bible's translation of Galatians 5:25 communicates, it communicates something that's very helpful for us to see. It says, if the Spirit is the source of our life, which He is, let the Spirit also direct our course. Let Him direct our course. And for even more clarification, understand the word if at the beginning of verse 25 in some of your Bibles, maybe most of them, is the conditional particle of a fulfilled condition. Meaning, what's that mean? That it could be translated since. Since. It means in view of the fact, or seeing that we live by the Spirit, in other words, since the Holy Spirit lives in every believer, right? Since the Holy Spirit indwells us, right? Since we are sealed by the Holy Spirit, since He is the source and power of our lives, let us also walk by the Spirit. This is a fact. This is true. Now let us walk by the Spirit. And the word walk here, I want you to understand, is a different Greek verb than the one used in Galatians 5:16. You would think it would be exactly alike. Galatians 5:16 saying, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh." The verb walk in Galatians 5:25 is a military term, real important, and literally means, at least this clarifies things for me, to keep in step with, to be drawn in line, to stand in a row, to get in line with. It means to stay in formation by following orders. So we must follow the order, the direction of the Holy Spirit. We must keep in step with Him. We must follow His lead. He leads, we follow. So in vivification, we have the Holy Spirit. We are made alive by Him. He indwells us. We are alive spiritually and no longer dead in our trespasses and sins like an unsaved person. And through our new nature, through the regenerating work of the Holy Spirit and now having life, we follow the Spirit's lead. He indwells us. He lives in us. So follow His lead. Think of it this way. Beloved, the Holy Spirit is God's drill sergeant, and it's His job to keep us in line. And as He gives orders, which are in the Word of God, we follow Him. We stay in formation, following His lead in our lives, His promptings in our lives, His direction in our lives. And how do we know what He wants us to do? Well, He's inspired a book called the Bible. And in it, we have our marching orders. It's our instruction manual, our guidebook, our code to live by. So how do we keep in step and know what to do and where to go? Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Be saturated with the word, because the word communicates the will of God. And who's inspired the word? The Holy Spirit. That's why letting the word of Christ dwell in you richly and being filled with the Holy Spirit in Ephesians 5:18 and be not drunk with wine where it is excess, but be filled with Spirit, produce the same results that follow. Because it's the same thing. If you are letting the word of Christ dwell in you richly, that it's a part of your life, that when you think, you're thinking about the word of God, it's directing your life. The Holy Spirit then takes that word, that truth, and directs us. If we disobey, what is it? That's sin. We've yielded to the flesh. What do we need to do immediately? Confess that sin. Yield back to the Spirit and walk in the Spirit. Now again, a part of this process, the negative is mortification, dying to self, crucifying the flesh, but we can only do that through the Spirit. That's the positive. Walking, being directed, filled, led by the Spirit. Listen, you think of every issue you deal with in your life. If you have a problem with your boss, if you have a problem with your mate, if you have a problem with your children, if you have a problem with your neighbor, whoever it may be, when you are led by the Spirit, you will be able to overcome the works of the flesh. And the key in, quote, family living today is Spirit-filled, directed living. Why? Because what follows? Well, as you go in Ephesians 5 and Colossians chapter 3, Spirit-filled husbands love their wives. Spirit-filled wives submit to their husbands. Spirit-filled children obey their parents. Spirit-filled workers what? Honor their bosses and work for Him. He's the boss. Spirit-filled employers do what? Treat their employees correctly. Those are all results of letting the Word of Christ dwell in you richly or walking by the Spirit. Very important, essential in victorious Christian living. So in mortification and vivification, we move forward spiritually through the Word of God, being led by the Spirit, keeping in step with Him in our attitudes, conduct, and lifestyle. And what will be the fruit? The fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, etc. But in contrast, if we don't mortify and follow the lead of the Holy Spirit, we are very capable of allowing the deeds or works of the flesh in our lives. And what are they? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, right on down the line. So there must be conquest through supernatural means, through mortification and vivification. Which leads us to our last point quickly today, the concern of Paul for the Galatians. Galatians 5:26. Let us not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another. Now, practically in the church, and specifically in the Galatian churches, when we walk by the Spirit, when we keep in step with the Spirit, when they would do this, as they follow the Spirit's lead, they will not be involved in pushing and shoving in the ranks of the church with one another. As we fall in line, as we stay in formation, we're not going to be boasting. We're not going to be challenging one another in a negative way and envying one another in a negative way. For when we stay in formation behind the leadership of the Holy Spirit, we will maintain unity in the Holy Spirit, in the body, in the church. We will not cut in line. Try to go in front of everyone. We will not push and shove in line by becoming boastful, challenging one another again in a negative way, and envying one another. I mean, if the Holy Spirit is our spiritual drill sergeant, He keeps us in line, and He cries out and gives the orders from the Word of God. And all we have to do is keep our place in the formation, running in step with His commands, following His lead. There won't be any boasting, any vain or empty glory, being puffed up with pride. Why? We understand that in this army we're all privates. Privates. We're not officers. We're not the general. We have been drafted in the army by God's sovereign grace alone. And we are privates in rank, servants, slaves, unworthy to be in His army. As we walk by the Spirit and stay in formation, we won't push and shove to be preeminent in the body. But also, if we fall in line, we won't challenge one another. Literally, we won't be provoking one another. That's what it means right here. And most likely, in the context of the book of Galatians, provoking and challenging to measure up to our preferences when it comes to spiritual freedom and abusing liberty in Christ. And I wish I had the time. I could take quite a bit of time right here in this section alone. Most division in church bodies come from preferences. That you make convictions. And if you don't follow my way, you're not spiritual. The Word of God is our manual. And there are areas that God doesn't give us instruction that He wants to give us as far as a clear way. We call those gray areas. It's not that the Word of God is deficient. I'm not communicating that. But it doesn't address every area. Every area. It addresses the areas we need. It's perfect in that way. Again, I'm not communicating any deficiency in the Word of God. But the reality of the matter is we start pushing and shoving in the body of Christ when we make our preferences the Bible. You understand what I'm saying? We have division in the body. Hurt feelings. We're getting out of line. We're getting out of the formation. We're not following the general anymore. Remember, we're privates. We need to be leading and yielding to the Spirit of God, letting Him lead us, I should say. That's important. But also, and lastly, envying one another here in verse 26. And possibly the more conservative group in the churches were envying the freedom that the libertarian group was taking there. But regardless, and this may have been what was happening at Galatia with the war between the liberty group, the licensed group, and the legalists. There was pride, provocation, and envy causing division in the church as the deeds of the flesh were manifest and not the fruit of the Spirit. But when mortification takes place and vivification takes place by keeping in step with the Spirit and staying in formation, none of these things take place. Boasting, provoking, and envying one another. That's a wonderful thing, isn't it? That's what we want. That's what we desire. And wrap up, I don't want you to misunderstand or come to the wrong conclusion about mortification and vivification. I'm not talking about self-sanctification by self-effort. But I'm challenging us to understand the Holy Spirit's method and keep in step with Him, for this is how our Lord grows good spiritual fruit in our lives. Is to say, the life that is truly Christian is a walk by the Spirit, sensitive to His leading and measured by the standard of God's Word. It is not a mechanical conformity to outward codes and the law. Nor is it a lapse into fleshly excesses under the guise of Christian freedom. But it's getting in line and yielding the Spirit, which results in energy, power, and direction supplied by Him supernaturally. And yes, we are positionally crucified with Christ, and the old man is dead. But what is true again positionally must become true through the working of the Holy Spirit in mortification and vivification, practically in our practice in life. The Holy Spirit indwells every true believer and has given us spiritual life and light and a nature just like Christ, the mind of Christ. And since we live by the Spirit, an accomplished fact, let us keep in step with the Spirit, walk by the Spirit, dying to self, yielding to Him, and supernaturally overcoming the desires, the wrong desires, and deeds and works of the flesh. I remind you again of Galatians 5:16. Walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. Beloved, we must live out Romans 13:14, which says in the ESV, "But put on the Lord Jesus Christ, make no provision for the flesh to gratify its wrong desires." And that is mortification. And living out who we are in Christ, matching up our practice with our position, as we submit to the Holy Spirit, in His power, to the will of God, found in the Word of God, we will truly be victorious in our Christian lives. That is vivification. The Holy Spirit who indwells us wills and works in us for God's good pleasure. Philippians 2:13. For it's God who's at work in you, God the Spirit indwells us, but both to will and to work for His good pleasure. So it's not let go and let God, and it's not self-effort, but being filled with the Spirit that produces glorious fruit for the glory of God. It comes through mortification and vivification. Let's pray.